I'll open the meeting with the acknowledgement of country. Council would like to show its respect and acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land of elders past and present on which this meeting takes place. Apologies, we have one apology today from Councillor Humphreys. Could I get a mover, please?
Yes.
Councillor Cadwell, a seconder. Councillor Lyon. Put that motion. All those in favour? Carried. Councillor Enjoin is on the way. Confirmation of the minutes of the previous meeting, pages 1 to 6. Could I get a mover, please? Councillor Gordon, seconder Councillor Lyon. Is there anyone like to raise any issues out of that? Put that motion and all those in favour? Carried. Confirmation of the minutes of the extraordinary meeting held on the 15th of May 2024. Could you get a mover, please? Councillor Cadwallader. Seconder Councillor Gordon. Any issues raised out of that? Put that motion and all those in favour? Matter of urgency is nil. Notice of the motion, questions on notice, nil. We'll now go to page 9 or 9.1. Disclosure of interest. I've jumped one. Any councillor got any disclosure of interest?
What item is it? Sorry.
It is 13.1.
I have an interest in a property there, and I'll leave when you discuss it.
Thank you.
So I didn't realize it was consolidation.
Yeah, I jumped one. Mr.
Gentleman. It is pecuniary, I should say. It's a pecuniary interest I have, but it's not actually pecuniary conflict, though. So, but I will leave.
Have you had any written
no
declarations? Thank you. Now we'll go to.
So I'm on the interesting. I'm just assuming, Chair, that the Mullumbimby item is not a conflict as a borough councillor. No. Doesn't work that way. No.
Correct. Chair, with the disclosure of interest, I have a significant, not pecuniary interest in 13.2 because it's a review of my performance review. So yeah. I'll step out for that item
that's,
as well.
That's noted in there in your minutes. Thank you. Now we'll go to 9.1, page.
Yes.
Final draft operational plan. Could I get a mover, please? Councillor Lyon. Second?
Yep.
Councillor Cadwallader.
Councillor Lyon. No, I move it as printed. We've had no submissions from the public during the exhibition period, which is generally
my
second sign. I don't know, election coming up, everyone's busy with other things, but generally, you know, when we get no submissions at all, that means we're doing our jobs. So, it's nothing's changed since we put it on exhibition. Happy to move it as we did.
Councillor Cadwallader is seconder.
No, that's fine. I agree with what's been said. No submissions is a great sign.
Mr. General Manager, I noticed there was a couple from the staff. Did you want to give a quick overview of that? Quickly?
So there's a couple of paragraphs where we jump in a bit more detail. Wow. However, it's just about timing. The first one, we were a little bit too organised and moved funds out, and we need to adjust it as part of this to allow that program to work. Item two is that tender is being considered later in this report, so we obviously need to have that financial adjustment for that. Item three for that. Item two is a purchase that we've been dealing with as well, so we needed to make those adjustments.
Thank you. Any other speakers?
Just one question on that first item with the 1.6 million. So was that just a general, here's 1.6 to cover any damage that you might have from floods, and then we've identified some, but the rest of it would get moved to reserves? I mean, that seems a bit unusual that
it works that way.
No, it's not exactly like that. Andrew will have a bit more detail, but we've moved our contributions, and that's what we shouldn't have been doing. So that, because we've got to match some funding. That right. was the problem that we had.
The money they gave us was allocated on specific projects and it will be expended on specific projects. Yep.
Correct.
I don't need to write a report.
Okay. With that motion, then, all those in favour? Carried.
I'll move this next one.
9.2, page 52. Mm-hmm. Local Government New South Wales Annual Conference Motion. Could I get a mover, please? Councillor Rob.
I'll second.
One on the Councillor Rob.
Just want to say happy to see that go through after we spoke about our benchmarks and the difficulty of trying to get them all in the green. And I think this one will hopefully address that problem if they could correct that issue for accounting for county councils.
Councillor Cavallo.
Didn't Rob move it?
No. Councillor Rob moved it.
Oh, sorry. okay. Fit for the Future no longer exists in general purpose councils. So this was never revoked when Fit for the Future was scrapped. Is that what that's what you're saying here? So we need to make sure that that the capital revenue from developer contributions in relation to water supply works. What you're saying here, the performance ratios and benchmarks are being affected still for county councils.
So, through the chair, the OLG has a set of standard benchmarks that all councils are assessed against. What we're saying here, that our single biggest revenue source, which is capital contributions, is not actually able to be considered in our benchmarks because they look at it, the benchmarks are really set around a general purpose council, not as a county. We're a very capital-intensive business, and our capital works, particularly around future water, is impacting our ratios. But the revenue that we're generating for the growth that's in our region can't be used in the ratio. So this is about seeking that there's a change to those ratios in terms of the county councils to better reflect what we do as a business in terms of capital-intensive operations.
Yeah. No, I get that. I think this is a great move. And hopefully we'll be able to get it up at conference and take it further. Yeah.
I was just going to add, to that. That also assists us with Treasury Court and things like that. That's what the idea is, to make us look like we really are on paper, because we use the same benchmarks as the general purpose councils. Isn't that right?
Correct.
Yeah. Yep.
Councillor Bloom?
I noticed at the conference last year that the discussion got so bogged down in the first lot of motions that in the end there was quite valuable ones like this that were just all sort of played through, I think, in the end. But my understanding would be through you, Chair, the General Manager will be down at the conference and lobbying on this, and not only there but around the scene. So it's part of a lobbying effort, really.
So through the Chair, on the day, I can't obviously lobby because it's the mayors who vote. If for whatever reason, so when we submit it, LGNSW does a review and does it align with existing things, and then it basically it's just for noting, or it'll get put in the business paper. If it's then discussed or voted on the day, the council representative will speak for the motion. So typically the chair or the chair's delegate if they're not able to make it. But if it doesn't get discussed on the day, the board then resolves those issues. And that'll be where we have a little bit more opportunity outside to have those conversations to show the differences with us. The advantage of this also sets a position for management that when we do have opportunities to talk directly to the OLG or if there's other reforms that are happening within the sector, we've got a position here as staff so we can put that forward as well. So it solves more than just this purpose in terms of the elections. It gives us a platform to have an official position within the organisation.
Can I just make a comment about that?
Just a question.
Question.
Wouldn't we be also advised to go to a local government minister?
We can talk to the local government minister as well. Again, it's subject to the outcomes that happen at the LG conference, because the LG conference does that as well. They get the summary of all the motions that were supported, come up with a package that provider. But when we have those opportunities, talk to ministers, the OLG, that gives us that flexibility as well.
That's what Rod's talking about. You know, you're advocating with the local government minister, which could go in here as well. You could do that as well, I think.
This motion is to go to the conference. I could see no problem with Rouse contacting all the other county councils, getting a united stand on that.
Yep.
And then before, if it gets into the business paper, then that united front could be sent out to all councils to make them aware when they get there, their delegates understand fully what it's all about. Because there's a lot of councils wouldn't even understand what a county council was because they don't have them in their area. So I think we need to look at that as a bulk united front and distribute that if it gets through the process to getting into that agenda. Is that what you're
most definitely
pointing at? Yeah, if I may speak.
Yeah.
Yes, I support this, and it reminds me actually of the similar motion that was passed 2 years ago in which the council sought to take advantage of better financing arrangements in line with general purpose councils. You might recall, councillors might recall that one. And again, I witnessed as a new councillor, the general manager and the chair going to the conference and lobbying for that. A lot of the work was done behind the scenes leading up to the conference and after the conference. But in the end, we got there, and that resulted in very favourable, much more favourable terms for this council in terms of accessing loan funding, if I recall correctly. So this follows that successful move, I think, and I think the council's has shown it was very effective with that earlier move, and I think this following that hopefully will deliver the same outcome and the same success. And as the chair has rightly pointed out, it's a little bit about educating the decision makers about the fact that county councils exist and have very different businesses to general purpose councils. But we got there last time, and hopefully we'll again this time.
Hmm. There are any other speakers? You'll have the right to reply.
I was going to comment on. I'll use it in my reply. But on that LG New South Wales conferencing, I don't know if anyone remembers that I challenged the way they did things at the last LG New South Wales conference, and I've been in discussions with a member of their committee or board, whatever you want to call it, and they're looking at how they're doing the business paper, which is really good because I said you're wasting everyone's time, and I don't want to see the politicians promoting themselves on the last day. I'd rather finish the business paper. So I suggested that they get all the priority business that's controversial at first, all new business second, everything that keeps coming back at the end, because that's the stuff that they know the answers, and they like the idea, and I think it's going
like
to
nuclear.
Huh?
Like nuclear.
Or anything controversial that's going to be debated, put it at the start. Yeah, so all that stuff should be at the start, and this sort of stuff should be next up. So it should be got, like they should get to it. But a lot of it will just go through without anyone talking to it anyway, as it always does. But I think it'll get through. I think this will go through pretty easily because I have spoken to a few people about it, and they if they understand it, they accept it. So, but anyway,
correct.
So I think we'll get a result, hopefully, positive result from LG, and then that way we can keep lobbying on it.
Right, I'll put that motion in. All those in favour? Carried. Over the page to 9.3, page 54.
So moved.
Councillor Cadwallon, the second, Councillor Bruin. Councillor Cadwallon.
After reading the report, it's reasonable under the circumstances. As before I got to the end of it, I'm thinking, oh, no, there's got to be a comeback here. But seeing that sort of a shared mishap, you might say, I think this is reasonable.
Any other speakers?
The question on it, I was reading through it and, excuse me. We're sort of talking about how it's shared, but I can't see anywhere where it was actually the guy's fault. It seemed to be all our fault.
It's unidentified, didn't it?
Because it was like the contractor, our contractor that hit the poly pipe, and it was our installation of the meter, which wasn't right. Where was there anywhere that it was actually...
Well, the contractor's employed by Rouse, so they carry their own responsibility.
Right, it was never the landowners. I couldn't see anywhere where the landowner was at fault. That was my...
Oh, no, not the landowner, the contractor, yeah. Yeah, okay. And
Mr. General Manager, if you get a comment, please.
Yeah. So, councillors, the situation was that if it was a fairly unusual arrangement to get water from the meter to a tank that the customer was using. So yeah, you're right that we had a responsibility in cutting off the water or causing a leak, but the setup was pretty...
But we couldn't have predicted the kind of setup that they had either.
That's right. Right. So yeah. It wasn't until we went and had a look at it that we couldn't take full responsibility for it because the customer had...
Customer certainly wasn't available on dial before you dig or something like that.
No. Right. So, yeah, it was a little bit... unusual arrangement. So there was.
And has it been sort of standardised?
That's well, basically, we're going to, as part of this arrangement, they'll be made to clean up their side, okay. And we'll move the meter to make it clear where our responsibility lies. Because that was one of the issues. It was a bit of a no man's land where we were responsible for and where they were responsible for. So cleaning that up as a result of it.
Cheers.
Okay.
Any other speakers? Councillor Bruin, you were seconder. Did you?
No, I don't know. Sorry, can I just ask a question? I support it, obviously, but I just want to question. So we don't actually lose anything in this sort of situation except for loss of income, which is water that we supply. So there's no actual cost to rents, really, except for the product.
Correct. Yeah, through the chair. So, it's just that loss of
income.
The income from that.
The water that falls from the sky. So.
But it's been treated.
That we have
been
treated. What? Okay.
Cesar.
Yeah. No. That's. I'm just trying to see the actual cost of ours. So it'd be minimal.
The marginal cost is.
Yeah. That's all right. That's all. Just for future. Thank you.
Councillor Cadwell, a right of reply. Put that motion in. All those in favour. So 10.1 is on page 56, but. Some might have an agenda that says Northern Rivers Watershed Initiative. That has actually become 10.2. 10.1 is Woodburn Flood Recovery and Water Quality Improvement Program Tender Award. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right. I've got that and I'm happy.
Everyone got that? It's 10.1? Yep. Woodburn Flood? Okay, because the original.
We've got the updated email.
So I need a mover for 10.1, which is the Woodburn Flood Recovery.
Happy to move.
Councillor Cadwallader, second to Councillor Bruin.
No, the
Councillor Cadwallader.
Everything seems fine
it's
here.
It's a long table, mate.
With the shared, the funding partner, it's probably a really good outcome, I would imagine. GM?
Yeah, so through the chair now, it's a great outcome in terms of being able to share the costs associated with that. And it also provides that... improvement to water quality for the lower river.
Yes, absolutely. I'm quite happy with that. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. It's good to see this significant piece of our future water strategy moving along. It's a major concept. This company has a very good track record, I understand. In projects throughout our region, including, I note on their website, some in Byron Shire. The sewage treatment works also at Yamba is another one. So you can't be too careful at the moment in terms of ensuring you have the right people to do the work because so many of these firms have been facing trouble. So it's good to know that this company, Ladone Constructions, has come in with the best tender and a great track record, and that we are moving forward with our future water strategy.
Thank you. Any other speakers? Councillor.
I have a question. I posted an email earlier this week. What would happen? We're building a 106 square metre chemical dosing building with a floor level 500 millimetres above the 1% AEP. Now, for me, 500 millimetres above 1% AEP is not a huge barrier or a huge buffer, right? Like, that's just a standard sort of, like a, you know. I mean, so we invest that sort of money. What would happen if we had a flood like we had on that again.
So, through the chair, there's a couple of things there. This is the main part that's being built here is the chlorine dosing, and chlorine dosing down there will be gas. So it's basically cylinders with a small regulator, and that's well above the floor level again. So there'll be at least another or three quarters of a metre or a metre above that limit. And the electrical installation component for this is a very small distribution board, which will be wall mounted and, again, significantly above the floor level. So
higher than the level of the flood we just had.
I will confirm. I don't think so. It's below it, but yeah.
Still higher than the half a metre above 100 plus. So not too far below the old flood. Sorry, the 2022 flood.
Not too far below.
So staff are at the moment are looking at building the rest of the treatment plant down there or relocating that to a higher ground because there's substantial costs associated in raising. This is quite a small installation for this component, but the major component for the rest of the treatment plant is a lot of civil works, large tanks, buildings and things like that. So we're looking at the cost-benefit associated with the raising that first, relocating that near an existing set of assets between Rouse and Richmond Valley. There would be some costs associated with that. But what would work better in the long term is what we're going through as part of that analysis. So,
from your point of view, because it's only $1.5 million,
it's relatively low risk.
We're taking the punt on in terms of that.
Yeah.
And it just seems to fly in the face of the building it back better. That's all, in a way. It's not going to withstand the same flood. It just seems a bit.
So, and again, this is not essential, this component. This is for water, like top-up of for water quality at this area. The treatment plant itself is why we're looking at it, because that becomes essential infrastructure.
Huge money compared to
correct. Factors. We're talking 15-plus million type of investment versus this investment. This building and the works associated with it are quite robust. As I said, the elements that could get damaged are quite minimal in compared to the overall capital outlay, and they're already at least a metre or 1.5 metres above the 1 in 100 when you factor in the half metre freeboard plus the mounting them on the wall.
And one final question, if I may.
Yeah.
So the Doane Constructions...
Through the chair, the attachment's confidential, but the report is open.
And what's the story with Key Civil? Do they just not want the job? Like, how do you have such a large discrepancy?
A lot of that sometimes comes down to how busy they are. They're looking for work, and if they
so if you want to jump our queue, this is what you'll need to pay.
We find that in our council, we can get twice as much price fluctuation.
So through the chair, there's a number of things that can happen. Have they read the scope and are on the same page compared to the other vendors that are bidding for it? What's their work? What's their risk? Their mobilisation cost, if they're moving or working out of the region. There's a lot of factors that come in there that can really skew projects. But it's not unusual for us to see a couple very similar and an outlier, and we've seen other projects where there's been major discrepancies that we've had to then do clarifications during the tender process to make sure that everyone's on the same page and trying to get a bit of an appreciation. But
Good. For over four times as much is just a bit unusual. That's quite an outlier, but
just a little.
All right, all good.
Just a further question to that, to Councillor Lyon's question. So the floor level is above a 1 in 100-year flood and slightly below the 2022 flood, but presumably what I'm wondering is sensitive, is there any sensitive equipment anyway that's sort of at floor level?
Through the chair, no.
Yeah,
this component here is the treatment plant's completely different, but for what we're talking about here, no.
Yeah.
This is relatively minimal.
Mr. General Manager, you've mentioned about the treatment plant, the two options.
Yes.
Maybe at the next information session, you could just give a short brief of what you're talking about there.
Yeah.
I think that'd help councillors understand.
No, that's not going to be a problem, Chair, because next workshop we've got a lot of updates about future water, and this is part of future water.
That'll
fit well with the theme.
Okay, thank you. Any other speakers? Councillor Cadwallon, what are we doing?
Okay.
With that motion, and all those in favour?
Yep.
10.2.
Second to move.
Seconder?
Yeah.
Councillor Gordon? Councillor Cadwallon?
This is some great work happening here. When I look at the project plan, a two-year program of work, soil health improvement program, riparian restoration and catchment, revegetation program, redesign floodplain drainage to meet contemporary standards, landscape hydration program. Some really good stuff happening here, and particularly what's been happening over at Keith Hall. So I want to congratulate everybody involved in this program. It's absolutely fantastic. And let's hope that this is just the beginning of a 15-year program. We just have to keep banging on the door for this to make sure it continues on. So, yeah, as we said, the preliminary scoping and the scale of work needed to affect landscape scale change, $150 million over 10 to 15 years would be required. But we've made some great inroads with just this program of works that's rolling out at the moment. So well done to everybody involved. It's a great project.
Thank you. Councillor Gordon.
No,
Councillor.
I just had a question. I would like to say a few words, but I had a question first around this funding, which I can't recall having been announced by the state government, although I do recall that there was a bucket of funding set aside by the previous state government for flood mitigation. And then when the Minns government came in, it was announced that some $5 million from that flood mitigation funding would be used for natural, natural management of the floodplain. So I'm just wondering whether this $5 million, which this was announced about this time last year, so I'm just wondering, is that $5 million the one that was announced a year ago?
So, through the chair, I don't have those details. The way it's been explained was that any of the government's election commitments, and this was one of them by the local member, would get funding, and that's we've been going through that process of going through those election commitments and going through the grant process associated with that. So in terms of what bucket behind the scenes it's come out of, I'm a bit unclear. Anthony, who's leading this within the organisation, is here. He might have a bit of an understanding, but it's bit grey behind the scenes of when the change of government, what buckets were retained versus changed and rebadged. So,
Can I
help you there, sir?
I'm concerned that this is fantastic, and it's great to see the initiative that started with this council is moving forward. These sound like very worthwhile programs. I know, for example, that concerns around runoff from under Macca Farms is one of the major contributors to siltation here in the Richmond system. And this will go a long way, I think, to showing what can be done, what can be best practice. All the projects sound so worthwhile. Obviously, this will be shared with the Tweed catchment as well. So I hope we get a big share of it here in our catchment, the Richmond catchment, to make a difference, as I've had long-standing personal interest in trying to clean up our river system, and I hope that this will show the way. My only concern is that I suspect that the $5 million is coming from money that had been set aside by the previous government for flood mitigation works, which were about trying to lower future flood heights so that those who missed out on buybacks or relocations or who have farms on the floodplain, who are staying put, had some hope that mitigation would help try and lower future floods. While this money is being well spent on rehabilitation and reducing runoff and so on, it's not going to go anywhere towards lowering the flood height. So I think there is understandable room for disappointment in the community that money that had been set aside for one thing is going somewhere else, because they're both very worthy projects. But with that one concern, this is great to see happening. Hopefully we'll see more funding coming forward over the years so even more can be done. Recently there was a report issued by a local scientist called Dr. Matt Landos, and it's a very informative report in terms of the health of the Richmond catchment, and we discussed this at Ballina Shire Council. What Dr. Landos has done is basically brought together a lot of the research that's been done over the last 30 years and put it together in a very succinct, easy-to-read report, which we have, as a council, moved to commend to decision-makers in Sydney and Canberra so that they have a better understanding of the unique challenges we have in the Richmond catchment. And one of the things Dr. Landos notes in his report is that there has been some good progress over the last decade in terms of turning around 100 years of neglect and damage through projects such as this. And we've all been out to see, I believe, we've all been out to see the great work that's been done by this council along the riverbanks, along the Wilson's River, near our pump station and further up. Hopefully this funding will allow us to extend that sort of work, and that would be great, because I think while a lot of landholders along the river system have done their own river bank rehabilitation works, including myself over the years, the actual effectiveness that you can see where Rouse has taken the lead and brought the landholders together is truly spectacular. So hopefully this sort of funding, and with the overall coordination of this council, building on the success we've already had along the Wilson's River there, can really start to make a huge difference in the years ahead.
Thank you. Any other speakers?
I just want to say to you, Mr. Chair, that it's great to see Rouse take the initiative, and it's even better to see it funded. Like the $5 million, even if it did come from a mitigation-type outlook, I was recently told by someone who would know that to take a metre out of the last flood would cost $1 billion. I'd rather see the $5 million spent better on this initiative and leave the pie in the sky to later on.
Yes. Good morning. Apologies for my late arrival. I'm just wondering, in the at the conference, the Rainforest Connections conference, we saw a lot of examples of groups working together to do these sort of projects. I know on Brunswick River we have Positive Change for Marine Life, Brunswick Valley Land Care, River Warriors, a whole collection of people that are sort of working on this that have mapped. And how much work is Rouse doing to integrate with sort of works that are already going on with those particular council areas or in restoration and weed management?
So, yeah, there's a couple of things there. I'll pass over to Anthony, because Anthony's been at the coalface working with a lot of the groups to pull this together.
Yeah, good morning. Yeah, look, the answer is there's a lot of integration going on, because there's obviously been quite a lot of different programs funded in that natural flood mitigation sort of area. And the concern is fragmentation and, you know, duplication and all those sorts of concerns. But our key partners on this project are the NRM teams in each of our councils throughout the JO. So Clarence are not involved, because Clarence weren't part of the JO at the time this strategy was adopted. But, yeah, certainly the NRM teams in each council, and each council has an NRM team doing great work in this sort of area. So they will effectively manage subcomponents of this project and within their own areas. And they're certainly aware of the challenges with all these different projects that are going on. And so there's quite a lot of coordination of that happening, but it's going to be a challenge, definitely, just from the capacity constraints around you know, skilled practitioners and materials and all these sorts of things, plans, fencing contractors. And so all of that sort of thing is going to be a challenge. But, yeah, there's a high level of coordination going on.
And through the chair, how are we resourcing that the staff for that? Do we have one person designated to oversee all four catchments, or like?
Well, we've got we've got our own small team that does this sort of work routinely. Councillors have seen some of that work up the river, and our share of this work will be done managed by that same team. So we're hoping to be able to do that within the capacity of that. If there is the opportunity for some degree of project management or administration to be included if required, but we're hoping that we can take up most of the management within our existing capacity. But,
it's very exciting.
So just to touch on that, so there's Anthony, and then Anthony's also got Greg and Stuart in his team, and we've got a casual also as part of that. So we constantly look at our resourcing. If we do need to ramp things up, there is opportunity, but we've got to go through that process and see, is that the best investment at the moment, or is there other areas to invest? Mm.
Yeah, I mean, I know in our area there's been, in Brunswick catchment, there's been a big effort to try and coordinate all the parties, so it would be great to just be able to link in, but it sounds like you're already doing it.
Yeah, the Byron team certainly pretty well plugged into all of those groups in the Bruns and Richmond.
That day down at Corakai, we had the tree planting along. Well, there was a fair few groups involved in that, and Richmond Valley Council was involved in that one too.
Yep, and again, the team down at Richmond Valley will be involved in managing that component, but. Yeah. Richmond there as well, so which is great, you know, building on those partnerships that are already there. Effective way to go.
Thank you. Any other speakers? Councillor Cadwell and write a report.
Thanks, Chair. I just wanted to ask a couple of questions here. Councillor Broome raised the funding, where did funding come from? I was after reading the report, I thought it was a different lot of funding that we got, not the $5 million for cleaning out the drains, the flood mitigation under the flood recovery program that Dougal Saunders announced down at
Boundary Creek.
Yes.
So, through the chair, this is a different source compared to that $5 million.
Yes.
That $5 million is with the Reconstruction Authority, and they're going through that program, working with the councils and that.
Right.
But in terms of where the big bucket, that was how I took Councillor Broome's question. I don't know what big bucket from the state government this came from.
Right.
Anything that's been announced, and this is not competing against that.
Okay.
This is a new source of funding, but yes. What was changed or committed previously, I don't know.
Okay, that's great. Terrific. And just again, thanks very much to everybody involved. Great project. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll put that motion. All those in favour? 10.3, Mullumbimby Connection to Rouse.
Oh, this is...
Are you going to do that one?
Who wants to move this one? Councillor Broome second. Councillor Lyon.
No, Councillor Broome will move it. I'll second it.
Too late. I've written it down. There you go.
I'll take it. I did try and declare a conflict here at the start.
You didn't try very hard.
I don't need to go over the detail. We discussed this in the workshop, and we had a good chat about it. And the reasons in the report, you know, I think it's fair. We're a founding member as council, Byron Shire Council, of Rouse. I understand we're paying for the infrastructure works for the emergency line. And then in future, assuming we make the right decision in the near future, we will pay developer contributions to Rouse for future upgrades to the Rouse network for those customers in Mullumbimby that currently are paying developer contributions to Byron Shire Council. So for those reasons, I think it is appropriate. That we're not required to make those capital connection contributions. I humbly request the support of other members here today. But
Councillor Brown.
A question first, Chair, perhaps to Councillor Lyon. Where are things at in terms of the Byron Council's community consultation? Have they concluded?
No, that's still ongoing. We are having that over the next couple of weeks. We then go to an extraordinary meeting of the Water and Sewer Committee to bring that consultation together, prepare a report and recommendations to the council meeting on the 15th of August for final adoption, if you like, of our new strategy around Mullumbimby's water supply. So Councillor and John will probably disagree with this assessment, but we're in the middle of a disinformation campaign from a somewhat partisan local residents association, which we're having to work through. They've released a pretty unhelpful flyer telling people how to think, and the conversations I'm having around town, unfortunately, a lot of people are not understanding the full picture. So there's work to do, and it's my intention to actively take part in that engagement, make sure that people have all of the facts. And I've been actively encouraging people through media, through conversations, to read the hydrosphere report that underpins the staff and recommendation, to understand that any decision that we make locally will have no impact on Rouse's decision making around, you know, the future water strategy 2060 for Rouse. The projected demand for Mullumbimby, I think, in the future might be around 5% for that part of it, which, you know, is within a contingency or standard deviation in terms of the water strategy broadly for Rouse. And we've had representations from Rouse directly to councillors and to committee members. So it's not like the information's not there, but we are still seeing a lot of, I would suggest, incorrect information being provided in our community around this. The way to counter that is to ensure that everyone takes the time to engage, to read the report that underpins it, and bring themselves to the same level of information that the rest of us are, and then can make an informed decision. It's not a 100% cut and dry case. There is an argument around diversity of supply, which you could argue would say you could beat the Laverty's gap situation. But that would come at a significant cost, environmental, social, and economic, all of which indicated that they're in favour of the permanent connection to Rouse. So that's an ongoing conversation, and that should conclude sometime in the next 3 to 4 weeks in terms of the engagement, if that answers your question.
Yes, very well, thank you.
But I'll just ask another question through the chair about the PFAS. How are things going there in Mullumbimby with the groundwater contamination issue?
Yeah, we're still getting the extent of that assessed. Obviously, it's not a council issue. It's an EPA issue, and that's connected to the Mullumbimby Fire Station that used chemicals, and so I think that's all still being assessed, and whilst that's being done, people have been advised to not use bore water in that area, and whilst we know all of the official bores, there potentially are a number of unofficial bores. So it's not just about contacting all the people that are on the water register, it's also directly contacting residents in the area to inform them of that situation. But look, it's been picked up in the press. You'd have to be living under a rock, but okay, you know, Mullumbimby, there are a few people who disconnect from the mainstream. So it is important that we get that message out there as much as we can, while the extent of the contamination is assessed.
Thank you.
Just following that, I think also, I mean, what's sort of being discovered across the country is basically anywhere where you've had fire stations, that are in low-lying areas close to bodies of water, you will have this. And I think how we learn to mitigate and fix and test and all those sorts of things. But it's I think it's something that we're all going to have to sort of face at some point as they get better at testing for it.
Initial indications are that it hasn't gone into the river and that there isn't any, like when they tested the river.
Has not, you no, say?
There's far more dangerous things that they did discover in the river waters that we need to discuss.
Yeah. Are there any other speakers? Oh, sorry. Yeah.
I just had a few questions. First of all, so at the moment we're at $5.19 per kilowatt. Through the chair.
Kilolitre. I know. It's stuck in the heart. Not going to have electricity on our minds.
Yeah, I was just listening to a thing about how to reduce electricity use on the way over here. There's no determined price at the moment for users once the connections, if the connection goes ahead. It says this is yet to be determined. Why would it be any different than the rest of the Byron Shire?
So through the chair, it would be the Byron Shire, but those future are only estimates because we set them on an annual basis. So, yeah, but so if the position from Byron Council was to proceed with this, those connections would feed as part of the overall, and then we do that nominal charge component.
Yeah. So I just think it wasn't that clear in the report that there wouldn't be.
Just to clarify, but there's no influence from the decision to connect permanently on the price. You know what I mean? Like, it's not going to influence that pricing.
Correct.
Well, it will make it go down.
Just to simplify it, I would think the bulk water charge, if this is one day accepted, would be the same as Richmond Valley, Ballina, Lismore bulk waters.
Through the chair, correct.
So just the same.
Yeah. Yes, yeah.
That's, but then whatever that charge is coming out of Byron Council, it would be up to them. And I would imagine they just charge the same as Byron as they would have Mullumbeet.
Yeah. They just wanted to make
it. So it would come down, yes.
If we permanently commit.
Yeah, if you permanently.
If we decide to maintain our own water supply.
That's up to you.
Then that raises some pretty interesting questions.
That's nothing to do with Rouse.
Charge.
With
I'd like to speak if that's okay. Through the chair, thanks for the report, and I guess in a sense I have a declaration of interest in Mike. I get to drink the best water, which comes from Laverty Scour.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of this report, I actually agree with the mayor in that the information that's been coming out from those people who object to the connection is very biased and undermines community consultation. I don't think people should be told what to think. I think they should be given information to help them make decisions. And I have had that discussion with them, and their response was that they felt that the Hydrosphere report and the way it comes to its conclusions didn't seriously explore the option of off-stream water storage, and that there wasn't enough information there. So for those investigations to continue, this was the pathway that we're looking at. But I just wanted to point out that I think you're right. I don't think anyone should be telling people this is the box you should tick and this is what you should say. We should have more respect for our community and the decisions they make, and that goes for our local media as well. But we do have to make sure that the information is in a palatable and accessible format, and reading a 170-page report for a lot of people is just not a realistic thing. And so we have to make sure that how we distribute information is accessible for a broader range of people. And I don't think everyone can read the Hydrosphere report, so we have to look for a happy medium.
The executive summary and the conclusion would be sufficient enough.
Well, that's, yeah. However, yes, so it's great to know the answers anyway to this as being an option, and that's part of having a discussion with the community is going, well, look, this is the option that's on the table and this is how much it will or won't cost, and so that's a really helpful piece of the puzzle. And that it always is a big jigsaw puzzle. And so thanks for having that information available to contribute to that. But yeah, I just wanted to confirm that I was not in agreement with the approach taken with those who do not want to connect with it, even if I am open to the idea of looking and exploring other options. You should never tell people exactly how to think and which box to tick without giving them, you know, you just got to tell them, give them the information and let them make those decisions for themselves.
Any other speakers? Councillor King.
Yes, thank you, Chair. I'm happy to second this motion. I think I'm seconding it. Look, I have to say with some reservations, clearly it makes sense that in terms of all our constituent councils, that as they look to bring in what you could call outlying communities that weren't that aren't part of our network today, that we try and help them do that because it makes sense. Because Rouse is the professional water supply organisation in the region, and it makes sense to bring in these outlying communities, whether it be ultimately places like Nimbin or recently in terms of Wardell. I think we generally around this table believe that's the right thing to do. My concern around this is if I compare it, for example, to our recent support to bring Wardell in Ballinashire into the network, it's different circumstances because as we brought Wardell in, we are acquiring, I'm not sure if it's over the line yet, the water treatment plant at Marram Creek. And I believe we will have a community there that will enthusiastically support our future water strategy and all its contentiousness, if you like. So we've acquired assets, we've acquired additional water supply options. It makes a lot of sense for us. Mullumbimby, on the other hand, is a little different. We won't be acquiring the Laverty's Gap assets. They won't be there for us to utilise, so we won't have that extra resource. As Councillor Lyon has outlined, this will potentially add 5% onto our overall demand for water. And while 5% doesn't sound like a lot, in a time of drought, which we could face before we're ready, 5% is a lot. When you're telling businesses and consumers to cut back water supply, stop having showers and so forth, 5% makes a huge difference. So there is, I think, room for some concerns around this. And Councillor Lyon alluded to the fact of the strong opinions held in Mullumbimby. I'm not sure that when it comes time to make some hard decisions around our future water strategy that we'll get great support from the good folk of Mullumbimby, but we shall see. And on that point, I wish Mayor Lyon and his deputy, Councillor Ndai, well in as they continue their consultations with the Mullumbimby community on this. And I think that while we can all have opinions on things, I think sometimes it's good to take expert advice. And I think the Hydrosphere report that Councillor Lyon's alluded to hopefully will, through its executive summary, provide people with the information they need to realise that it makes sense to do this. And for that reason, I'm happy to second this motion and wish all well in executing it, should the people of Mullumbimby decide.
Any other speakers? I'll just make a comment on that 5% in the time of drought. It won't matter because we supply in a time of drought now out of Rouse to Mullumbimby. So whether it's be in the future or now, that 5% is going to come out of our water supply anyway. How often has that occurred, do you know?
Through the chair, I think twice since it's been installed that's occurred.
But can I say it's not hasn't been during drought periods, it was but after the floods.
After the floods was one of them.
Was it drought?
And then I think there was a drought.
Yeah. 377 million kilometres.
Yeah, it was in here.
It was
Significant.
Yeah. So I just think the recommendation needed to come out to give Byron some certainty of what where would they would go, so they could go to their community. And I wouldn't say it's a generous offer, but I'd say it's just Rouse looking after one part of a constituent council, and I fully support it.
Oh, sorry. I just have a question. So we obviously won't have a situation where, like, Lismore's levy, for example, built by Rouse, owned by Byron. So this is going to be Rouse's asset. I think the question is to Councillor Lyon, that isn't this an easy sell? I'd understand, or would I expect that if we connect everything to Rouse, which is what I've been hoping to see in our four council areas, then it brings the cost of supply down to Rouse, which means the cost of retail to each council would be able to be brought down because their cost of supply goes down. So you no longer have to spend as much on your water supply.
Economies of scale.
Yeah. So wouldn't that be an easy sell to say, well, you're going to get water security, better quality water, and potentially cheaper water if Byron decides to bring price down? That's what I'm trying to understand, which is why I've always wanted to see Ballon and Byron, all those connections connected to Rouse to make it economies of scale.
If only it was that easy.
Yeah, no, it's not.
I think financial is always a consideration, and never more so than today. But yeah, there's multiple criteria that people are concerned about, and probably environmental is the number one consideration, which is why ultimately I'm actually in favour of the permanent connection, because what it will allow is environmental flows to the Wilson's Creek system, because the Laverty's Gap Weir, even if it remains and becomes a swimming hole or whatever, you're going to have more. You don't need to take the water out of the system anymore; it should just flow through. So you know, even though financial is more and more consideration currently, ultimately, broadly speaking, in Byron Shire, environmental will always be the number one consideration.
And just one other, mate. So I heard that the fluoride is an issue, but this is one of those ones we don't have to put a fluoride plant on that connection. Is that correct?
Yeah, correct. So there's no – that water doesn't get treated for fluoride at the moment, and until Byron makes a decision one way or another in the future, it'll just remain that way.
So we've got a similar thing happening about Nimbin as well. So if they don't want fluoride, we don't have to – yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it ticks every box, I think.
Can I just comment on what Councillor Big Rob said? You mentioned about the Lismore levy, it could come like that. Rouse won't be acquiring the Laverty's Gap.
Yeah, well, that's what I was making sure.
So we won't have any. We'll just keep our own water.
So what we build is that.
What happens with the Laverty's Gap will be up to Byron Council.
So through the chair, there's a couple of different things that have been discussed. I just want to make it clear.
We're open to selling it, I'd say.
So there's a lot of constraints, and I'll just be open at the moment. There is a lot of constraints associated with Laverty's Gap in terms of what can and can't be done at that site, and that's been part of – we've had some initial looks of would it be of value from a regional point of view, similar to the works we did at Marram associated with that. So Marram had a lot of benefits for the regional point of view. Laverty's Gap, with the constraints overlay, very little, if anything, no benefits from a regional point of view. So if that's something that would need to be considered later on, we'd have to do further work, but just from a desktop analysis point of view, very little benefit can be derived regionally. So that's why these issues are very different. One is about a connection, and this report's left it open because we know there is other councils that are going through the same type of long-term planning. Councillor Rob brought up about Nimbin, that's an issue that they're looking at what their short, medium and long-term options are, and the same is for Richmond Valley. So this, for Casino. So this report's doing a couple of things. It's these things happen very rarely. So it's about trying to set a bit of a framework there, but also understanding that every council's situation is completely different. So it is a bit of a case by case. Does Rouse incur any cost for that connection to happen? Pipelines versus there's not. So in this situation, there is no cost associated with Rouse, that there is a pipeline and that these works that Byron are doing as part of the emergency. But something like Richmond Valley for Casino would be a different situation. situation again, so would Nimmin. Waldell, in terms of Marram, is a different one again. So I just wanted to clarify that, be careful trying to mix those the decisions and the business cases associated with them all, because it is a bit of a case-by-case basis. And what we're trying to do is honour what our purpose in life here is at Rouse, which is to support our constituent councils and the communities that rely on us for the water, but at the same time making sure that, that there's a quality in terms of that decision-making, hence why we've tried to make it very clear what were the factors that were considered as part of this for everyone around the table.
Where is Marram at?
So through the chair, we're hoping to get it to this meeting. Unfortunately, a key staff member was had a family emergency on their side. It is likely that we'll have that for an extraordinary meeting in July before our workshop. My understanding is if it all goes to plan, that at your next meeting you'll be considering your component of it, and then it'll come to Rouse to consider our component. So when I get another update, I'll let everyone know, but that's where we are at the moment.
Can I just add a comment to the discussion? I know I spoke earlier, but the one really good thing about these discussions is it does get the community thinking and talking about ways to reduce their water use and ways to be more efficient and more effective, and we can focus on that with these discussions as well. Like I've heard quite a few people really thinking about what they can do to better improve their water efficiency.
If you actually look on the report, Byron's usage has been coming down, right?
Yes, which is very unusual for a tourist town because people, when they're on holidays, rarely
care. Lower than 2016-17 it is.
Yeah.
Just like our visitation.
Yes, that's the reason, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it could be that you're not getting the tourists coming through. It's not that they're using less water, they're just not coming through.
It's less people.
I think per capita we do have a lot of rain water tanks
as well, because we've had a lot
of rain. Yeah.
But I think when we talk about demand management, that's been raised now. So I think there's a lot more work to do. We're working really hard as constituent councils to do something about it. But when you look at state government, I had a tour of the Kempsey Water Treatment Plant, their bore fields a couple of days ago, their dam and the correctional facility out there where the inmates are allowed to have a hot shower every hour. Every hour they're allowed to have a hot shower. And I was just blown away by that. And I went, how can that be? That's just incredible. Here we are trying to save water and that's allowed to happen. I won't go on about all the other things that they have to deal with what comes through their sewer system, because that's just unbelievable, the amount of work that's caused through that. Very, very interesting. And I think there's a move to get a lot of these regional facilities up to speed with proper treatment facilities, not just chlorinating their water, which happens in a lot of cases, but proper treatment facilities.
All right then, we had a good discussion. Councillor Ryan, would you like to have a
moderate? Yeah, just briefly, thanks, Chair, and look, thanks for the support that's been given for this, for the council. I understand that, I think we're spending something around the region of several million to make that emergency connection. In terms of Laverty's Gap, yeah, I mean, it is open. Obviously, we would be happy for it to be connected. But as you said, desktop analysis is, and if it's not good for a regional supply, it's probably for the same reason it's not good as a local supply. Because, even if it's something that was going to be just the local thing, if it has a regional benefit, it makes sense versus what you can supply. And look, we'll have that conversation. I'm confident that we'll reach the right decision. I'm confident in my community. I trust in the people in my community, if they're given all the information, that they will. And look, yes, we do value the environment and we will make the best decision for the environment.
we're not anti-population growth, and I don't think that that will carry the day when it comes to the future water strategy. And what will carry the day is the best environmental world, and that's being worked on. And we have called on the emergency plan a couple of times, but it's going to happen more in the future, and that's the point. We're going to have extremes in the future. We've got more population coming to Mullumbimby. We have more development coming to the Byron Shire. So I expect that council will make the decision to make the permanent connection. But, you know, this is a precursor to that, and I appreciate your support today.
Put that motion then, all those in favour? Carried unanimously. Item 11.1, policy review, pensioner concession policy, water retail customer assistance.
Happy to move.
Councillor Cadwallader.
Yeah, I think this is pretty much housekeeping. Revoking it just brings it into line what's already there, doesn't it? It's already detailed in the Local Government Act and captured in a more accessible and informative format with council's guidelines.
The seconder? Any other councillors? Vote of reply. Put that motion, all those in favour. Carried. Item 12, information reports. A move to adopt all those reports from 1 to 6.
Action to move.
Councillor Rob. Seconder?
Yep.
Councillor Bruin. Councillor Big Ross?
Yeah, no, I'm happy to move the reports.
Councillor Bruin?
Look, thank you, staff, for the work that's gone into them, and thanks, Councillor Nadai, for attending those events and bringing the information back to us. It certainly made for interesting reading. And I was particularly taken by your comment around perhaps other such events, including in our region, deserve more education and community acknowledgement. I think that was an interesting point. Thanks, Chief.
Any other speakers?
Yeah, I'd like to say the report. I enjoyed reading your reports. Councillor and I, absolutely fantastic, great reporting, and thank you. Obviously, you got a lot out of that, out of both those things that you attended. So thanks for that. It's always good to find out, you know, what's happening at these things when you can't get there yourself. So, yeah, and great lot of work from staff in all the reports. Thank you. Melon is carrying the lion's share of the Rouse water here. I'll just make a note of it. We're certainly the biggest users. Yes, all good. Thank you.
Can I just say that on your reports, I could feel the passion in them, so much appreciated. Thank you.
That's good. Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, look.
it was really good.
Through the chair, it was one of those things that just seemed like it was going to be way too difficult. I had the launch Friday night, and that just got close, and I thought, no, it's one of those once-in-a-lifetime experiences. You don't get to go out on country with elders and staff members, and the Reconciliation Action Plan Working Group is a really diverse, interesting bunch of people. And the stories I got to hear on the drive out there from Uncle Mickey and talking to Uncle Roy and hearing, we're talking about the rivers, and they're talking about when they, you know, weren't allowed to cross the bridge to come into the town because of the Welfare Act, when they used to go, the diversity of fish they used to be able to catch from the river here, that they used to swim in there, drink from there, you know. So it's a, you go, wow, that's in our lifetime or in their lifetime. You know, what would it take to get back to a place where we had that diversity of native fish species and a river that we could swim in? But also the horrors of living under the Welfare Act and what went on and the difficulty and the trauma experience through that. So coming together, the journey to and from was just as amazing as the experience of coming together with these families of both the people who had been massacred and the people who massacred them. And that there's a real potency in that, which I think, and there was a call out. And I know particularly in Ballinashire, I know a little bit more about some of the sites in your shire, and where horrific things took place. And it's probably a real opportunity for us to make meaningful changes in our communities by looking into those things and, you know, honouring that and looking to repair through kind of real changes, real relationship building. So that was, I feel really lucky and really thank Rouse for that opportunity, because I don't think many organisations, well, you know, make those sort of things available. And also the conference was a last-minute thing, and if it's on again, everyone should go. Like, it was amazing to be in the room with so many people working in weed management and forest restoration and just water quality. Rouse was, and I saw that we were one of the sponsors of the event.
Didn't Chrissy present at that? Did you guys present? Chrissy did.
Chrissy presented at the flood management, floodplain management conference.
But what you do get to see there is the amount of science available, if the funding's available, and the to do just such incredible things. And to, you can't, I think in this world at the moment, you sometimes need a bit of filling up, because we see so much of the devastation. To see these projects that people are working on, whether it's bats or getting kids more engaged in walking in the bush and then following up and finding out how that impacts them in different ways, or, you know, control that really needs that bigger picture to make sure that everyone's on the same page. Yeah, so thank you for the opportunity.
Chair, can I just say thank you to Robin in particular, who helped arrange those spaces at the conference. I was meant to be there as well and intended to, but I came down with COVID, unfortunately. So I was very glad to read the report and sorry I couldn't make it. Thanks.
Any other speakers or questions? No right or reply, big council bill. Put that motion and all those in favour. Carried. Confidential matters, page 125. I think these are a bit different.
146.
Yeah, 146. Mm-hmm. Need a motion to go into closed council.
Yep, so moved.
Seconder. The Bruin. Thank you, Mr. General Manager. Could we have the resolutions from closed council, please?
Sure, Chair. I'm just getting to item 13.1, workplace consolidation property disposal. The recommendation that council, one, approve the sale methodology outlined in this report for the following properties: 131 Kyogle Street, B, 320 Warrella Road, and C, 20 Conway Street. Two, in relation to the sale of the above properties for a period of 24 months from the date of this resolution, A, authorise the general manager to do and sign all things necessary to appoint a selling agent or agents, B, approve an annual advertising budget of $15,000, and C, authorise the chair and the general manager to sign the necessary documentation under seal to effect the sales in accordance with one above, and three, endorse the exit strategy for 218 to 232 Molesworth Street and approve the make-good budget identified in this report, including disposal of surplus furniture, fittings, chattels by the methods identified in this report.
Thank you, and I'll read the annual performance review from the General Manager. That Council accept the recommendations of the Chair and Councillors that assess the General Manager's annual review on the 15th of May 2024 as more than satisfactory, and two, agree to the recommended change to the General Manager's total remuneration package, TRP, as specified in the report. Thank you. That closes the meeting. Everyone have a safe trip home, and thank you for your attendance.
Thank you.
Have to wait.
Chair.